to the men, living and dead, who did these things, we dedicate this program,
The Dam Busters,
presented by the author himself, Paul Brickhill, dramatized by Morris West, an Australasian radio production.
This is Paul Brickhill. Leonard Cheshire had been idolized by 617 Squadron, both air crews and ground crews. They felt their squadron was unique, and it was only fitting that it should have an outstanding officer as CO. Cheshire had fitted perfectly the tradition of Guy Gibson and Mickey Martin. In some ways, he had surpassed both of them. But now he was to go.
Well, Cheshire, how do you feel about it?
Do you want me to argue with you, sir?
It wouldn't do you much good if you did.
In that case, I can tell you I'm rather glad of it.
Browndorf?
Oh, no, sir. I feel as though I could carry on for quite some time, but... Well, I know I'll be unsettled. Rather lost when I leave the squadron. But still, deep down, I'm glad of it. I suppose I'm still a coward at heart.
No, my dear chap, you're an honest man. And that's a rare thing in this crazy world.
Would you like me to go now, sir?
No. The tea's coming in a minute. We may as well stay and chat.
Oh, thanks. I was just wondering what I'd do with myself.
How's your wife, by the way?
Very well.
Is she pleased?
Very. She may get sick of it once she has me home for a while.
And how did the other boys take it? Shannon, and McCarthy, and Munro.
Oh, there was the usual binding. But underneath it, they were very glad. They've been like a trio of sandboys ever since.
They've been at it solidly for 2 years now. And they're still only boys.
Not any longer. That's the thing that worries me, Anessa. What's going to happen to those chaps after the war?
You know, I often think about that myself, Cheshire. I often wonder what we've done to them. You know, we've trained them for years as efficient means of destruction. We've shown them death and desolation. Then one day we say, well, thank you very much, there's your deferred pay, there are all your citations, there's the record of the nation's gratitude. Well, goodbye and be damned to you.
Well, it can't be like that, sir.
I know it mustn't be, but we haven't had time to do anything about it. Now, take those boys of yours, for instance. What we should be doing with them now is giving them some kind of retraining to fit them for civilian life. We can't, of course. We haven't the organization. And we don't even know what civilian life will be like. If the present rate of destruction continues, we may all be living underground.
Yes, it's a big problem, sir. I've been thinking about it a lot. I'd like to believe that after the war there'll be enough men like you to help those chaps.
So, my dear chap, we turn back to the job in hand. More destruction, more death.
Sorry, sir. I didn't mean to shoot my mouth off like that.
It probably does us both good, Cheshire. To look to the future, I mean.
Who's taking over the squadron, sir?
It's Willie Tait. Do you know him?
Oh, I've heard of him, sir. I don't know much about him. What's his record?
All bombies. He's 26 and has 2 DSOs and a DFC. He's a black Welshman.
Has he got a sense of humour?
I don't know. Why do you ask?
Oh, in 617 he'll probably need it.
I don't like this, boys. I don't like it one little bit.
What don't you like?
The new bloke, of course. Look at him up there at the bar. Looks like the original Rock of Ages. He's been propped up there at the bar for the last half hour. He hasn't said a word.
Perhaps he doesn't want to talk.
Not very sociable. Any time he's opened his mouth is to put his pipe in it.
Give him a break, old boy. Perhaps he's just shy.
Well, perhaps he doesn't like us. Perhaps he thinks we're a lot of roughnecks.
Which we are.
Which we are, I agree. He doesn't have to underline it in red ink, does he? I wonder what he's like in the air.
The gongs say he's pretty good.
Gongs, gongs. We've all got them. That doesn't mean a damn thing.
Hello, Tato, man.
Do you mind if I join you?
Why, no. Glad to have you. What are you drinking?
A beer, thanks.
Another beer, Seward.
I'll be moving off in a day or two. Don't think I'm hanging around, will you?
No, I don't. It's rather nice to see a friendly face.
I say, look here, are the boys worrying you?
No, on the contrary, I think I'm worrying them.
Oh, I doubt that. I think we all get a bit old womanish after we've been on one station too long. Mm. Once you've done your first operation with them, they'll loosen up then.
Yes, I hope so. I say, give me a bit of advice.
Oh, surely, if I can, yes.
You know, I've brought two of my own boys with me, Cockshot and Iverson.
Oh, Cockshot, yes. I've met them. They're good boys.
I don't want to promote them over the 617 boys. Whom would you recommend for flight commander?
Well, actually, I'd rather not recommend anyone. I tell you what, you tell me your own choice, and I'll give you a line on it.
Well, I've thought of Falk.
Falk? He's a good boy. You couldn't do better.
Good. I'll put him up tomorrow. Now, tell me something about these tall boys of Wallace's.
Well, they're designed for a specific job. Hmm. Deep penetration with a transmitted earthquake shock.
I see.
They're a wonderful weapon, but they throw a pretty heavy burden on the men who deliver them.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Also, they're so complicated to make that we can't waste them. Everyone's got to be on target, or at best, a very near miss.
That throws it back on the marker.
That's right. By the way, are you going to mark yourself?
Naturally. I'm going to mark myself.
Are you going to use the Mustang?
I wanted to ask you about that.
Well, I've found it tricky at first, but once you get used to it, there's nothing better for the job. The trouble is, of course, you're flying solo, and you've got to be everything rolled into one. Navigator, gunner, bomb aimer.
Hmm. Sounds quite an assignment.
Oh, yes, yes, it is. But not too big for a Welshman.
Thanks. I'll take it up tomorrow and try and get used to it. Now, chaps, the weather's breaking. It looks as if we'll be on our way this afternoon. This is the first time we'll be flying together. I don't suppose you'll like that any more than I will.
Oh, I don't know about that.
However, I'll do the best I can to bring us home safely.
Who's going to mark for us?
I'll be marking in the Mustang.
The Mustang? Ah, oh, I see.
Falk will be following with his Mosquito to see if he can bag some photographs. I think we'd both like to see that they were just as good as under the previous command. Well, that's all, chaps. Take off time, 1500, unless the...
Unless the weather doesn't hold.
Now to drop the markers. Then I'll take another look from 4,000. Wait on my report. Over.
There you are, Skipper. Little beauties. Five direct hits and half a dozen very near misses.
I didn't believe it possible. Well, what's the latest on the casualties?
Three aircraft badly hit, but they're all home. One bomb jettisoned, one gunner killed by flak.
Oh, let me have his personal details. I'll write to his people. Now, come in.
Oh, am I interrupting?
Oh, no, it's all right. Come in.
Oh, I won't stay, Skipper. The boys are all in the mess. They want to know if you'll come and have a beer. They figure... Oh, hell. I want to say you've earned it.
In that first raid, Tate won the confidence of his crews, and before many more raids had passed, every member of the squadron was acclaiming him a worthy successor to Gibson, Martin, and Cheshire. Most of these raids were against the rocket sites, which Hitler had fondly imagined to be impregnable, and the damage done to them was immense. When the Allied armies moved beyond their perimeter and captured some of the former bombing targets, Barnes Wallace was sent to France to inspect the work of his earthquake bombs.
I tell you, Harris, it was utterly fantastic. I just couldn't believe the evidence of my own eyes. Look, Cochrane, I brought back some notes and some photographs. Now, this one is from Wotton.
Good grief. It's unbelievable.
As you see, the bombs pierced directly through the roof and completely destroyed the installations inside.
That was one of Cheshire's first jobs, wasn't it, Cocky?
Yes, that's right. What's this one, Wallace?
That? Oh, that's Bizerne.
Ah, I remember that one very well. Caused us a lot of trouble.
Nothing like the trouble you caused them, apparently. I calculated that that big dome on top weighed nearly 10,000 tons. This is what happened to it. The dome was knocked completely off its foundations, the launching tunnels had all caved in, and behind those, there was a maze of galleries, you know, living quarters and storehouses. They are all blocked by landfalls.
Yes, I can't help thinking of the poor devils who got it down there.
Yes, I saw some of that. It wasn't pretty. Now, this one is the big storage caves at Cray. Actually, they were just a series of galleries in a huge chalk hill. The bombs were right on target. They bored down straight through the center of the hill and, well, then the hill collapsed.
Oh, staggering, Wallace. Quite staggering. Tell me, what's this one?
Which? Oh, that, I think, is the most spectacular one of all. That's at, let me see now. What on earth's the name of the place? Oh, yes. Mimoyek.
Oh, yes, I remember that. It's such an odd name. We couldn't figure out what was there. We didn't think they were rockets.
They weren't rockets either. They were fabulously huge guns. Yes, guns. They were to fire the B-3 on London. One of the engineers chappies told me that each of those guns could have delivered 600 tons of explosive a day on London. Now look what happened to them. One of the bombs ripped off the whole side of the concrete and blocked the left-hand gun shaft. The right-hand shaft was completely collapsed by a near miss, and down further, right down, you can't see it on the photograph, it's about 500 feet down, there were 300 men living and working. 500 feet down. Think of that.
And what happened to them?
They're still there, my dear chap. They'll stay there till Judgment Day.
Yeah. Do you want to see any more of those, Coggy?
No. No, thanks. Not for the moment. I'll get some copies and study them.
Yeah, good idea. Oh, I've got something to show you, Wallace.
Oh, have you? Something interesting, I hope.
Yeah, we think so.
Oh? Well, what are these?
Those are the new U-boat pens.
Ah.
Hamburg, Bremen, Eimuiden.
What's the scale of these photographs?
Oh, hundredths of an inch.
That makes each of those pens about, say, 300 feet square, 70 feet high.
Yeah, that's near enough, I should think.
Indications are that as a result of the destruction on the rocket sites, the Germans are pushing ahead to strengthen those pens. Do you think your tall boys could cope with them?
Well, look, I don't want an argument about this. I seem to have had too many arguments in my lifetime. The fact is that in spite of the good work they did, some of my tall boys actually broke up on the concrete.
The rest of them seem to have done well enough.
Well enough isn't really good enough, you know. These U-boat pens are much bigger than the rocket sites, so they'll need something bigger to deal with them.
And, something about what size?
About, 10-tonner. You know I've been suggesting a 10-tonner for some time now, and I believe the Lancaster has been developed enough to carry it to Germany.
You're an obstinate blighter, Wallace.
Oh, am I?
Mr. Wallace, I told you once that you could sell me a pink elephant. This time you've sold me your 10-tonner.
Oh. Oh. You know, Harris, this is the most satisfying day I've had for quite a long time.
Righto, chaps. Right, quiet, chaps.
Break it down.
Righto. And your target for tonight, chaps, is here. The U-boat pens at Brest.
Happy days, brothers. Happy days.
What's wrong with it?
Have you seen the Fleck reports?
Fleck reports?
Well, that's a pleasure in store for you. Tell them, Skipper, tell them.
Righto, quiet, fellas. Well, it's fairly obvious that the Germans are on their last legs. And the U-boats represent the last offensive weapon left to them. It's the only way they've got of striking at the reinforcement convoys. So, they've switched their heaviest flak defenses to the place where the U-boats are housed and refitted.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Now, that's our job tonight.
Chini and two others are back. We lost three. They were pretty badly wounded. They wouldn't last long in the North Sea.
No, I suppose not.
It was hard to assess the results, sir. There was so much smoke around.
The results were eminently satisfactory, Ted. By the way, have you seen Cheshire?
Yes, sir. He was in the mess, as a matter of fact. I understood you wanted him, so I brought him down with me.
Oh, good. Well, send him in to be like a good chap, will you?
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Sir, have you got an appointment for me yet? I'm getting awfully tired of waiting around.
Well, I have one appointment for you. Unfortunately, it's of a rather temporary nature.
Temporary nature?
Yes.
Well, what is it, sir?
On a day to be fixed, you're to go to Buckingham Palace.
Is this some sort of a joke, sir?
No, Cheshire. It isn't. I'm instructed to inform you that His Majesty has been pleased to confer on you the Victoria Cross.
VC, sir. But I... What have I done, sir?
The citation's a very long one, Cheshire. It comments on the fact that the Victoria Cross is usually won in a moment of exalted heroism. In your case, it has been awarded for 4 years of conspicuous gallantry far beyond the call of duty. Would you like me to read the citation to you?
Well, I don't think I could take that just now, sir. It's not me, you know. It isn't really fair that... Well, they're all the boys.
I think that in your case, Cheshire, the boys would award it to you themselves. Now, would you like to stroll back to the mess and I'll make a formal announcement?
Well, I'd rather you didn't do that, sir. Not just at the moment, anyway.
Just as you like, of course. Would you mind telling me, why not?
Well, the chaps took a hammering last night. It might be a little out of place.
If you don't mind, Cheshire, I think we might leave that to the boys themselves.